Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Monday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, has given me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you listen to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number two, M-A-N, @gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that's what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So, praise God. Thank God for another blessed Monday. And wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for another blessed day that you've given us, another time that you have blessed us to see. And dear Lord, this day we ask, Lord God, as we enter the word of God, that your spirit would accompany us. For Lord, we dare not know your word without you. So therefore, we ask for the revelation, knowledge, and understanding that we need this day. And dear Lord, we pray that all of those who are seeking your face right now, that they will find you. Father, I ask that you reveal yourself unto them, that their joy may be full. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for such an opportunity you've given. Bless me in spirit, soul, and body to be able to deliver this message. And I give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. I want to run by you guys before I go into this lesson today. And this lesson actually is a new series, but not new series. And I'll explain to you about that in a minute. But I want to run by you that not only would I be coming with scriptures from the Bible, but I will be coming with scriptures from a couple of other books that is also contains the word of God that goes with the Bible. One is called The Record of the Nephite. And if you're listening to me on this page, you can go to, sometimes it has a little picture of a little Bible on the right-hand side. You click on it, a drop box will come, or you can click on the God's Word to Man logo. And whenever you come across it in the drop box, look for episode, click on it. And, you know, the beautiful thing about Blog Talk Radio is recorded all our episodes, our past broadcasts that we did. And you can look up a couple broadcasts, one of them titled Sign of the Restoration and Restitution. And another one is titled How Did the Record of Nephite Come Forth? And you should hear more concerning one of these books that is called The Record of the Nephite. Amen. And then there's another book called The Word of the Lord. Once again, if you look up on the past episodes, look for the title Jesus Communicating to Man Through Angelic Visitation. That's Jesus Communicating to Man Through Angelic Visitation. And another one is How Can I Tell If These Messages Are From God? Once again, how can I tell if these messages are from God? And the third one you can look up is the End Time Work, Restitution and Restoration. The End Time Work, Restitution and Restoration. And so you can look up the title of these past broadcasts that I named to you to hear more about these two books that is the Word of God, contain the Word of God also that goes with the Bible. Amen. So I wanted to run that by you before I go any further. Now, tonight's lesson, like I said, it is a new series, but not a new series. It's actually a continuous, but it's dealing with another part, and it's titled Signs Given of Jesus Coming. Signs Given of Jesus Coming. Okay, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off finishing the last series I did with you is The Day of the Lord. And I wanted to do a couple more, I guess you would say a couple more scriptures from it. And then we're going to go into this signs that is given of Jesus coming. Okay, so I want to start off once again. And when I did the Day of the Lord, and for those of you who's listening to me on the broadcast, I think the last broadcast I did, I think it was Friday. Well, anyhow, it was titled The Day of the Lord Part 2. And so this is a continuous from that. And then I'm going to finish that up and go into the new series that is titled Signs Given of Jesus Coming. Now, once again, one of the reasons, and I say one of them, that, you know, and I say again that the Lord has dealt with me to go this route, to come before you guys today with this. And one of the reasons is because, as I said to you all before, who you've been, you know, if you've been listening to me on the broadcast, that there are some subjects among the Christian community that has kind of, you know, I want to say, separate us per se, or we may have a different opinion or thoughts on, okay? And we know that we're not going to agree on everything. But then there are some other topics that I call hot topics. And there, I call them hot topics because they have really brought a bad separation in the body of Christ. And one of them is dealing with, quote, the rapture. Now, the Bible does say we're going to be caught up. I don't deny that. That one of the things that is misunderstood is the timing. And you have some that say, well, we can be gone any day. And then the next thing that's being said is that the reason why the church would not go through the great tribulation because God has not appointed us to wrath. And so, and starting off the overall series titled The Day of the Lord, what I really was focusing on in doing that part, and that I'm going to finish up tonight on that, is that we need to understand, and there is a guy named Robert Van Kampen who wrote a book called The Rapture Question Answered. And, you know, he said some interesting things in there. And one of the things he did point out is true, that we do need to differentiate the difference between the wrath of God and the wrath of Satan. And you have people calling the great tribulation the wrath of God, okay? And so based on that, they have turned around and said that that's the reason why the church is not going to be here, or, quote, what they some call true believers. Now, it's interesting about the, quote, pre-rapture thing is because now they've, you know, I've heard through the years, they divided the believers between true believers and not, or weak Christians, okay? So you got all these things floating around. And so you hear some say, well, the church is not going to go through the great tribulation because the Lord said, which he did say in his word to his people, that we're not appointed to wrath, to his wrath. That's true. But the great tribulation is not the wrath of God. And so we've been looking at first or the day of the Lord, and we have been looking at different witnesses who talk to us about the day of the Lord. And we come to understand on the positive side, the day of the Lord is going to be the positive side for the believers, okay? Because the Lord is coming to gather his people together, okay? But on the negative side for unbelievers or the wicked. And so we saw in the scriptures where that on that day, not only is the Lord going to show his love in gathering his people, but he's going to dish out his wrath. And we saw through the witnesses from Isaiah to John the Revelator to the word of the Lord, Jesus sent it through his angelic messenger, the Elijah. We see who his wrath is going to be against. And we also saw that on the day of the Lord, he is the only one that's going to be exalted that day. Now, that's another key that we got to remember, okay? So continuing on to from that, if you have your Bibles, and if you don't, I ask that you would listen along and follow along with us. But if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 13. The book of Matthew chapter 13. Like I said, we continue on with this. We're going to finish this out somewhat a little bit tonight, and then we're going to go into the signs that are given of Jesus coming. The book of Matthew chapter 13, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. The book of Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to start reading from verse 24 to verse 30. Verse 24 to verse 30. And the word of God says, another parable put he forth, talking about Jesus, unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have it tares? He said unto them, an enemy have done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Okay? Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I would say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. Do you hear that? But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, let's go to verse 37, where Jesus began to give us the revelation of what the parable is dealing with. Verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, according to the parable Jesus gave and define it what it was dealing with, we see that from what Jesus is telling us here on this earth, that the children of God and the children of Satan have grown here on earth together. Okay? From verses 37 to verse 43, we come to understand that there's going to be a cleansing of the Lord's kingdom, okay, the dominion, the place where the extension of his kingdom resides here on earth, okay? There's going to be a cleansing, okay? Hallelujah. And he said in verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, here's the thing. If the righteous is not going to be here, if the church, and who many are saying, quote, true believers are not going to be here, the church is going to be raptured away, why is it that the word of God said, then shall the righteous shine when what? The evil is removed. In verse 41, he said, and he shall send his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Okay? See, that's what the wrath of God is going to come at on the tares. You get that? The children of the wicked one. Hallelujah. And see, according to the word of God, they have to be removed in order for the what? The righteous to shine. Okay? Amen. Because they have mingled together in the churches and all that, you name it. And you know, sometimes tares almost like look like wheat. So this is why the Lord in the parable, when the men say, hey, you want us to go and separate? He said, no. Because he let him know, say, you ain't got proper discernment. You might pull up a wheat with the tare. Okay? He said, I'm going to do this. And that's why he also let us know that he said that the tares was going to be gathered and burned in the fire. He says, so shall it be in the end of this world. So his wrath, when he comes, is going to be on the tares, who Jesus told us is the children of Satan. Okay? Amen. The day of the Lord, the wrath of God, is going to be poured out on the tares, the wicked one, the children of the wicked one. Amen. So glory be to God. That's where it is. It's not on his own children. Okay. Now, when we get more concerning the wrath of Satan, that's when we're going to start dealing with what? The great tribulation. Because notice that in Matthew 24, the word of God said what? Immediately after the tribulation of those days. So before that, verse 24, he was talking to you about what? What will be happening in the great tribulation. And you don't read nothing about the wrath of God. Okay? But you read about the wrath of God when? When Christ returned here to the earth. Just like we're looking here in Matthew 13. And he's going to pull out his wrath on the who? The tares, who is the children of the wicked one. The wicked one. Those children, those people are going to face the wrath of God on God's day, not his people. And it won't be no great tribulation. Understand this. When Christ returns, it's going to be the dishing out of judgment. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I want to read a scripture from one of the messages from the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has sent through his angelic messenger, the Elijah that is for to come. And I want to read to you, Jesus sent this message May the 9th, 1943. And remember, angels of the Lord come at the appointed time of the Lord. They don't come on our calendar, okay? They don't come on just our beck and call. We cannot set up a date and say, I want my angel to come on this date. They, when if you see an angel, or if an angel come to you and deliver any kind of message from the Lord, you can best believe he was sent at that time by Jesus, which means that when you go to the Lord in prayer, you don't have to worry about saying, Lord, you know, your angel brought your word to me, and you ain't got to worry about Jesus saying, really? When did he come? Because he knows it, okay? He knows it. But why? Because he sent them. So in this message, which is titled The 60th Message, which was the 60th time that the Lord sent the Elijah. And this is what he had his angel to tell us. He said, the harvest is on, or in other words, the time of the end. The harvest is on. The Lord has spoken and long plead that mankind will obey and fully set their hearts to do his will, for the sheaves are ungathered. See, the Lord has, he said, the Lord has long pleaded with mankind. Okay? I mean, when you have the Lord pleading, okay, he really wants you to come to him. That's why anybody that go to hell or go to the lake of fire and brimstone, there is no excuse. It's not like God called you one time and you ignored it and he just said, off to the lake with you. One of the things about the Lord, he's merciful, he's long-suffering, okay? And he had pulled at people many times, but he's not going to pull at you forever. And you have to understand that. It's not going to pull at you forever. And some people have the notion of thinking that even, and get this, some people know that God has been dealing with them. No, God is calling them to come to him. And they keep putting them off because in their mind, they fixed it that I can do, have my little fun. And so when I get older, you know, I'm going to settle down, or when I get tired, I'm going to settle down and I'm going to get to
Well, here's the thing. You may not make it. That's why many times you find God pulling at you right now, because you may not make it. See, back in the day when I was growing up especially, that was the thought of many people. Even some of your singers, secular singers and stuff like that, they were like, oh, they're going to go do all they had their fun. And then when they get old, now they want to sit down and sing gospel. Okay. Now, he goes on to say, the wheat and the tares have grown together. Now the cleansing shall be among men. Be humble, that your lives may be full of the love of God, for he will deliver. Now, he said the wheat and the tares have grown together. The same thing that Jesus said in Matthew 13, he says here through his angelic messenger, the Elijah, in message 60, which means that Jesus did not deviate from what he said. Once again, if any angel is bringing you a message and it contradicts what is written, then you can throw it in the trash can because it didn't come from the Lord. So here, Jesus is saying, once again, the wheat and the tares have grown together. He said, now the cleansing shall be where? Among men, not among animals. Okay? He said, among men. Okay? The cleansing. Amen. Hallelujah. The cleansing on this earth, it has to happen, and it's going to happen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, by that being so, okay, once again, the wrath of God is going to come on the tares. Okay? And he says, be humble that your life may be full of the love of God, for he will deliver. Okay? Be humble. Okay? Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 13 that the wheat was the children of the kingdom, the children of God. Okay? The children of God. Amen. So he said, be humble that your lives may be full of the love of God. Now he's talking to his own people. Okay? And he said, and he will deliver. Okay? Because it is his people that's going to be persecuting going through before he returns. When he step his feet on this earth, he's going to deliver what? His people. Therefore, he's going to pull out his wrath upon who? The tares, the wicked, the sinner, the one that's doing the persecuting. That's where he's going to pull his wrath out on people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now I want to go into this new part of the series. Now, concerning the return of Christ, glory be to God. And the word of God let us know there are going to be signs given of Jesus coming. Okay? Now, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 2. And I want to start off with laying a little foundation right quick. Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 1 through 10. Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 to verse 10. I want to lay a foundation in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Amen. And the word of God says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. I know they say we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Okay. Yeah, that's also a symbolic in that too, because, you know, just like we looked in at the day of the Lord, remember, the wicked was saying to the mountains, hide us, going into the caves, fall on us. Because why? Knowing that when they find out Jesus placed his feet on this earth, and they're going to find out all that was preaching about Christ is true, then what? They're going to be troubled. So Herod and all of Jerusalem was troubled with him because what? They heard that what? The Savior was here, okay? The one that's born king of the Jews. It troubled him. Now, it says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, the reason why I started off with this and dealing with the signs given of Jesus coming is that we may understand something, that there were signs given that announced Jesus' first coming, okay? We see here it was the star, okay, which gave an indication of Christ's coming or his arrival. Remember, as we read this star, the wise men followed the star, and it led them all the way to it was over the place where Christ was. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 2. We come to understand that there are signs that was given. Glory to God. Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 4 to verse 12. We're looking at, first of all, that there were signs given of Christ's first coming that announced his coming or his arrival, okay? There were signs given. Now, before I go any further, to those of you listening, I want you to understand something. There's times that God will give a sign, but signs is not to be the dictating of our life as a Christian. Now, you said, well, what do you mean? The Bible said that we are to walk by faith and not by sight, okay? And so you have people think that the only way they can get answers from God is that they always got to have a sign or see something, okay? And if that were to be the case, then you wouldn't be walking by faith. Now, what the Lord does do is he show you that there are things he will give as an indicator. Now, notice that this is not something done every time, okay? But especially on particular events, for particular reasons, the Lord will give a particular sign. Now, in Luke chapter 2, verse 4 to verse 12, the word of God says, and Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in the swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Okay? So, to the shepherds, to the wise men, The wise men, the star, okay? They follow the star. And here, the angel of the Lord told him, say, hey, okay, he's going to be your sign. You're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, okay? Now, glory to God. You will find there are times that the Lord will give you signs on something, okay? And we come to understand that when Christ first came, there were certain signs given to reveal who he was or give indication that he has come, that he has arrived, okay? Now, once again, we got to remember, and I want to stress on this because sometimes we take certain things and we get out of the way. Your whole Christian walk is not to be motivated by signs, okay? Let's understand it. Let's understand that God will give signs for a particular time, for a particular reason, on particular things. It is not going to be an everyday thing. And see, you have to run this by people. And when I say people, I'm talking about those that are professing to be Christians, because they will misunderstand and think that, you know, everything's got to be by a sign. Like, for example, you have some people say, Lord, if you want me to get this house, let the man come and tell me he likes me. And see, the man might come up and say, I like you. And you thinking, oh, that's my sign from the Lord. And you go by the house and you are so deep in debt, it ain't funny. And so when you say, well, Lord, I told you to let the man tell me he liked me. And the Lord said, I wasn't in that. Because you got to remember, there's a devil. Okay? There's a devil. And he heard that prayer and he will accommodate you. That's why we got to be careful. You know, you have sometimes you have people throw out fleeces. And I think that, and like I told you, at times God will give signs to particular people for a particular thing, but not for our lives, our walk in Christ to be by through signs. It's got to be by faith, people. Got to be by faith. Because, see, if, for example, if you ain't believing God until you get a sign, then that's not the God faith. If you just looking for a sign to believe God, that's not the God faith. The Bible says in Romans 8, as many as led by the Spirit of God, not by signs, okay? But as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So sometimes you find some Christians get locked on a sign, okay? Amen. Glory to God. Now, having said that, I want to read a scripture from you from the other book that is called The Record of Nephi, another book of the Word of God, called The Record of Nephi. Thank you, Jesus. Record of Nephi. Thank God for the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to read some verses out of there. And this is this account taken by a servant of the Lord named Nephi, which his dad was named Nephi and his granddad was named Helaman. Okay. Well, I may got this wrong. This is Nephi. It is by Nephi, and I want to get it right, but it's recorded by a servant of the Lord named Nephi, okay? And this is what he recorded. Now, this is what happened over on this continent. Yeah, there was people over here on this continent, you know, during those times, and the Lord dealt with them over here just like he dealt with the people over there in Jerusalem, okay? He gave his word over here just like he gave over there to the people in Jerusalem. People in Jerusalem was not the only people that God dealt with. And let's listen. Let's keep that in mind, because they're just like, that's equal to some Christians think they're the only Christians on earth. They think that they're the only one God uses, okay? And that's wrong. That's far from the truth, okay? Amen. Now, the word of God says, now it came to pass that the 91st year had passed away, and it was 600 years from the time that Lehi left Jerusalem, and it was in the year that Lachish was a chief judge and governor over the land. And Nephi, the son of Helaman, had departed out of the land of Zarahemla, giving charge unto his own son Nephi, okay, which was his eldest son, concerning the place of brass and all the records which had been kept and all those things which had been kept sacred from the departure of Lehi out of Jerusalem. Then he departed out of the land, and whither he went, no man knoweth, and his son Nephi did keep the records in his stead, yea, the record of this people. And it came to pass in the commencement of the 92nd year, behold, the prophecies of the prophets began to be fulfilled more fully. But there began to be greater signs and greater miracles wrought among the people. But there were some which began to say that the time was past for the words to be fulfilled, which was spoken by Samuel the Lamanite. And they began to rejoice over their brethren, saying, behold, the time is past, and the words of Samuel are not fulfilled. Therefore, your joy and your faith concerning this thing has been vain. And it came to pass that they did make a great uproar throughout the land, and the people which believed began to be very sorrowful, lest by any means those things which had been spoken might not come to pass. But behold, they did watch steadfastly for that day and that night, and that day which shall be as one day, as if there were no night, that they might know that their faith had not been in vain. Now it came to pass that there was a day set apart by the unbelievers, that all those who believe in those traditions should be put to death, except the sign should come to pass, which had been given by Samuel the prophet. Now it came to pass that when Nephi, the son of Nephi, saw the wickedness of his people, his heart was exceeding sorrowful. And it came to pass that he went out and bowed himself down upon the earth and cried mightily to his God in behalf of his people, yea, those which were about to be destroyed because of their faith in the tradition of their fathers. And it came to pass that he cried mightily unto the Lord all the day. And behold, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, lift up your head and be of good cheer, for behold, the time is at hand. And on this night shall be the sign be given, and on the morrow come I into the world. Now, this way it said with Jesus coming into the world, okay, to show unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of my holy prophet. Behold, I come unto my own to fulfill all things which I have made known unto the children of men from the foundation of the world, and do the will both of the Father and of the Son, of the Father because of me, and of the Son because of my flesh. And behold, the time is at hand, and this night shall sign be given. And it shall come to pass that the words which came unto Nephi was fulfilled, according as they have been spoken. For behold, at the going down of the sun, there was no darkness, and the people began to be astonished, because there was no darkness when the night came. Okay, so it's supposed to have been nighttime, but it was still light. Okay, and there were many which had not believed the words of the prophets, fell to the earth and became as if they were dead. They started to see, what these prophets said was true. But they knew that the greater plan of destruction, which they had laid for those who believe in the word of the prophets, had been frustrated, for the sign which had been given was already at hand. And they began to know that the Son of God must shortly appear. See, that was a sign of before he was to come. Yea, and find all the people upon the face of the whole earth, from the west to the east, both in the land north and in the land south, were so exceedingly astonished that they fell to the earth. For they knew that the prophets had testified these things for many years, and that the sign which had been given was already at hand. And they began to fear because of their iniquity and their unbelief. And it came to pass that there was no darkness in all that night, but it was a light as though it was midday. And it came to pass that the sun did rise in the morning again, according to its proper order. And they knew that it was the day that the Lord should be born. Did you see that? That's a sign. That was a sign to them that Christ will be born, okay, because of the sign which had been given, okay? And it came to pass, yea, all things, every whit, according to the words of the prophets. And it came to pass also that a new star did appear according to the word. So there were signs given, even over here on this continent, that Christ will be born, just like it was given over there in Jerusalem, okay? That the sign was used to announce his coming, okay? So, since there were signs given to announce the first coming of Christ, then you can look for it. There are going to be signs given to announce his second coming, okay? Or what, as many of us in the Christian community have been preaching, the return of Christ. Now, sad to say that there are some who believe in this we can be gone any day pre-trib rapture thing, is that they have Christ coming a second and a third time. That's not true, people. This, he coming back for the second time, not no second and third, okay? He coming back for the second time. But there were signs given as an indication of when he first came of his arrival. There was a sign given over here on this continent, as I read to you, that when it should have been night, it stayed day. And the people knew something was up, okay? See, here's the thing. Everybody on earth is not walking by faith. So sometimes God will give signs to, quote, convince the unbeliever, okay? Because the unbeliever is walking by signs. They walk, in other words, the unbeliever most definitely is walking by their senses. They're walking by what they can see, feel, touch, you name it. And so sometimes God will give that sign to convince even the unbeliever. Because as I read to you, the unbelievers over here who didn't believe in Christ's birth and him coming and the signs that said will be given, all of a sudden when they saw that sign, they got scared. You get what I'm saying? Just like I read to you from the Bible that when King Herod and his people in Jerusalem heard about these things and the Christ to be born, they got what? They was troubled. They was troubled. So a side note, as Brother Lee said, a sidebar, to those of you who have been delivering the word of the Lord, and God had really given you a word to give somebody to deliver, hey, if they mock and make fun, don't worry about it. Because the very words God gave you to give them, it's going to come to pass. And when they see anything connected to what you said, your next prayer is going to be for them, the Lord help them, because they're going to get scared. Because see, one thing about it, Jesus, when he would never, he said, I never leave you nor forsake you. And one thing about Jesus that many times before the Lord do something in the earth, he reveals it to his people, okay? And many times what he does is he have you to tell it first before he manifests it. That's what he does, okay? Amen. He asks you to tell it first, giving man a chance to believe on the word that he sent. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So that's the foundation I wanted to set up before we go into actually what we need to go into, that there were signs given that was announcing Christ's first coming. Okay. Now, understanding that, we must also understand that there are going to be signs given that's going to announce his second coming. Amen. Let's go to, I'm going to read to you scripture from, once again, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's called the 105th message. And the Lord sent this message out June 17, 1989. Wow, that's actually like a month after I graduated from high school, okay? But it was June 17, 1989. Now, I want you to hear
what the Lord had his angel to deliver, what was said in this message, one of the things. And this way he said, there will be. Now I'm going to stop there before I go any further. When the Lord say there will be, wherever the Lord speak that and let you know something going to happen, look for it. It's going to happen. You know, people are subject to talk like that and miss it. And really wouldn't have no true explanation on why we miss it. But the Lord is a different being, people. And if he tell you there will be, then guess what? There will be, okay? Now, the only time he speak that a there will be or something like that, if he says something going to happen and it don't, is when it mean that it was conditional. So he goes on to say, there will be signs in the earth, the sun and the moon, and great shape, perplexity among the nations, men's hearts failing for what they must pass through. Now, what they must, not may have to, but must pass through. But we're told here that there was going to be signs. And we are told the places and even the objects that would show these signs of Christ returning. He said there will be signs in the earth, the sun, and the moon, and great shape. He said it. They're going to be signs. It's going to happen, people. He said there will be. He said perplexity among the nations. Okay? There will be perplexity. Perplexity is dealing with a state where they will be unable, that man will be unable to grasp something clearly, or they're going to be unable to even think logically or decisively about something. That's what perplexity means. So when these things happen, okay, they're not going to be able to grasp this thing. They're not going to be able to grasp, okay, what's happening, why this happening, blah. They're not going to be able to grasp it, okay? And he said men's heart's going to fail them. Hey, man, their heart's going to fail them, people. You just make sure you ain't one of them. Amen. You look at this corona when it hit. And just take this nation alone where it hit at. Because here's the thing with us over here. When we were hearing on the news all those many people that were dying over there and China and all that, where this stuff, quote, got going from anyhow, we heard it, but we didn't pay a lot of attention to it. And then when it came over to here, and I think the first place I think it hit was somewhere in Washington. I think 7 or 9 people died. Then we start going, oh, it come over here. But then when it hit harder and we start seeing hundreds of cases up to 1,000 of cases and the people were dying, okay, man, especially in this nation, couldn't grasp what's going on. Why this thing happened? What made it happen? They couldn't grasp it. And it was been in panic. Okay? And whether you believe it or not, the nation is still gripped in fear right now, to this day. We're still gripped in fear. Okay, people are eyeing one another with an evil eye. They're looking all funny at each other. Okay? And see, you know, the business is suffering. Yeah. Because people afraid, got starting to become more afraid to go out and eat. You ain't finding many of these restaurants full with people like you used to. And people, that means, I'm here to tell you something. Since this corona hit, we didn't went through a change in this nation. Amen.
And people are like, well, we wait for it to go back to the norm like it was. I'm sorry. But anyhow, these things that man is going to see, it's going to be hard for them to comprehend and grasp what's going on. They're going to know it's something because the Lord said they're going to be signs in the moon and the star, and they're going to become troubled. And the Bible said their heart's going to fail them for what they must pass through. It's a must. Amen. Glory to God. Now I'm going to stop it there tonight. The Lord say the same, continue with part two, signs given of Jesus coming. I'm going to come back with part two. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. So, hallelujah. Thank God for the blessed word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the blessed word of the Lord. We thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. And thank you, dear God, for blessing us and touching us as you have done, strengthening us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask today that everyone that's listening, that you will bless them right now. I pray that they heard the voice of your spirit as I've been giving your word in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do. And I give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So, I thank God for all of you been listening. Lord, say the same. Look for the advertisement tomorrow. I come here today on a new time, another time. I just come on at 6 o'clock. That's not going to be the set time, but once again, as I said before, sometimes things comes up that I don't. It will be better to meet this time than the 7 o'clock time. The 7 o'clock time is still on now. Don't get me wrong, but glory be to God. So, once again, this is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May He keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.